Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Before we get rolling, a quick programming announcement. Today is a USDA reporting today, and we will have special coverage at 12:39 Central Time this afternoon when our guest will be Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. The Labor Department today says that prices of goods imported to the U.S. fell for a third straight month in September. U.S. import prices fell 0.5% from the prior month. Compared with a year ago, import prices were down 0.9%. The September decline in import prices was driven primarily by petroleum prices, which fell 2% from the prior month. Food prices increased 0.2%. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that he has received a final confidential report from the World Trade Organization outlining its findings on a challenge to the U.S. country of origin labeling law. However, he did not disclose what those findings are. Most observers believe the WTO report will be released publicly before the end of the month. In a letter to lawmakers, Vilsack said officials from USDA and the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative have been discussing, quote, our next steps in this dispute. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 1,478,280 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico. Of that number, 975,360 is for delivery during the 14-15 year and the remainder during the 15-16 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,625. It's up 15 points. The NASDAQ, 39.55, down 15. And the S&P 500 is 19.25, and it is up 0.25 point. Our first ever WILO Ag Farm Assets Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It's Friday, and it looks like we're going to start off with a fairly decent day across a big part of the Midwest. The exception will be in the Ohio River Valley or River Basin area. We'll likely see a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity occurring across the region. Most of the precipitation is going to be somewhat erratic and variable in its distribution and its intensity. We're expecting to see some areas pick up on just a trace amount, but other areas will probably see between 0.3 inches and 1 inch. And the precipitation will be, again, mostly coming out of portions of central Missouri right over to southern Ohio and down into Kentucky. Most areas to the north of this will likely see dry conditions, and those dry conditions will stay with us through a fair amount of the day on Saturday as well. But things will change as we move closer to Sunday with the new storm system already pushing into the western Corn Belt. And new system will likely perhaps produce a little bit of shower activity already on Saturday in portions of Missouri and west central sections of Illinois. But as we move on into Sunday, that's when the majority of the rain will likely occur. We'll look for it to start in Kansas and Missouri and work its way to Wisconsin and parts of Michigan. And by the time we get to Monday, the precipitation will be falling rather moderately across a big part of the eastern Midwest. And as we get into Tuesday morning, the precipitation will be diminishing. And Tuesday afternoon will be the starting point of some much-needed relief across the region, with dry weather expected to occur during the rest of next week and on into the following weekend. There is only one weak little disturbance that's advertised to occur as we get into the latter part of next week. It is going to produce only a minor amount of precipitation, and it'll be very brief at that, so we're not expecting to see much of a further disruption to the drying trend that's needed across the heart of the Midwest, or field work is going to be ongoing in northern areas. Should point out that there's not much precipitation already for this weekend into next week for the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt. This would include the Dakotas, Minnesota, and portions of Nebraska and northwestern Iowa. Those areas will probably be left mostly dry through a big part of the forecast period. And our temperatures are going to cool off here, or stay cool, as the case may be, for much of the weekend. But as we get into next week and get behind the rainy weather, we're going to see those temperatures climb in a more favorable range. We'll probably see those readings getting a little bit warmer than normal by the time we get to the middle and latter parts of next week. Until that occurs, though, we are going to see highs this afternoon limited to the 50s and a few lower 60s out there. Tomorrow will be maybe upper 50s and lower 60s, and as we go on into the rest of the weekend and on into Monday, we'll probably see, again, additional 50 and 60-degree readings. There may be a quick punch of warmer weather on Monday in the eastern Midwest, just ahead of the thunderstorms that are likely to occur. So there may be some 70s, even a temperature or two close to 80 degrees possible at that time. But enjoy it while you can, because it will be lost very quickly to some milder conditions for the rest of next week. Our low temperatures at night are certainly not going to be anywhere close to freezing in the heart of the Midwest. We will see some chilly temperatures tonight, though, across the northern portions of the region, a lot of 30s and a few upper 20s. Those upper 20s will be mostly Wisconsin, though, and portions of Minnesota. And then as we move on through the rest of the weekend into next week, we won't see temperatures nearly that cool again for a while. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter December wheat, 570 and a quarter, down 2.5. Soft December, 490, down 3.25. December corn, 337 and 3/4, down 7. July, 367, down 7. November soybeans, 928.5, down 13.5. July, 960.5, down 13.5. October soybean meal, 331, down $2. October soybean oil not trading. December, 32.54, down 47. October live cattle, 164.32.5, up 32.5. And October lean hogs, 109.05, and they're down 45. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we're about 2 hours away from the reports, and what do you make of how the trade is reacting ahead of the report this morning?
Well, I think we've got some. I think part of what we saw this week was profit taking. You know, we had a lot of shorts trying to take profits out of the market, but we did see some new longs come into the market too, and people buying new positions, especially on the funds. And I think we may see a little bit of that being even up here this morning with the markets down, getting positioned prior to the report. And we did have a big corn sale here. It was the fourth largest corn sale that the USDA has ever announced to Mexico, about 1.5 million metric tons total. So that was kind of nice to see from a demand standpoint.
After the dust settles on the other end of 11 o'clock, do you see either corn or soybeans beginning to turn sideways into the balance of the year?
Yeah, I think really we still haven't really seen that big push, you know, at harvest, and maybe we're not going to see that. That's part of what we've been trying to digest this week, I think, is the delays in harvest. And I guess I could see things push lower if we really get a big push where the acres start really, you know, the harvest really starts flowing. I think one of the keys to watch on the report today is to look at the demand. In a way, I kind of think the acres and the yield may offset, but look and see if there's any improvements in demand. I think that may give us a little indication of what's coming down the road.
Certainly an improvement in demand in the corn site in particular would be justified, it seems to me.
Yeah, and I think so. And I think that we could see some, talking to some analysts here this week that are looking at the carry in the market on beans between spring and fall of next year, and taking that and saying, you know, maybe Brazil's not going to push the beans out the door as fast as they did a year ago, and we may be able to export beans a little bit longer. So maybe even some increase in the bean side of it.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. December corn trading 336 and three quarters down 8. July 365 and three quarters down 8 and a quarter. November soybeans 928 and three quarters down 13 and a quarter. July 960 and a half down 13 and a half. October soybean meal 334.10 up 110. December soybean oil 32.44 down 57. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.